All right, I got a sponsee on Zoom here. He had a pretty serious medical procedure done today, so he's watching from home and wanted to make sure that he was actually here like I told him to. My name's Terry, I'm an alcoholic. I got sober June 6, 2016. This is my home group. I have a sponsor, he's here. He sponsored me today. He's actively my sponsor, which is cool. And I have the privilege of sponsoring other men in Alcoholics Anonymous and Bree sometimes. And that was a weird thing, man. You know, like, she texted me and said, Jesse said I need to start going to meetings with you on Mondays. And I was like, that's a bad idea. And then we started to do it. And Bree would tell me all of her bad ideas. And I would just co-sign them. You know, I was like, you should do that, right? It became like a game of like... Because here's the deal, if Bree does stupid stuff, then she's got to call her sponsor, and her sponsor has to help her stay sober. And in doing that, her sponsor is more likely to stay sober, right? That's how AA works. And I'm married to her sponsor, so I want her sponsor to stay sober. So I'm like, here, you plenty of opportunity to be of service. You know, I'm going to help with that. And over the last year, I've gotten to give Bree a lot of bad ideas. And then a lot of those, I've had to kind of hold her accountable and let her know that her behavior's not okay. And we've been able to work through that. And I've been able to watch her grow through those things and stay sober through some really, really bad ideas. And that's the beauty of AA, man. I don't have to be perfect here. I just have to be persistent. You know, I have to continue to show up and try to do these things. And my sponsee is already fucked off on the Zoom, by the way. He doesn't think I noticed. I know you were just playing games. Don't play with me. At any rate, here's the deal. I love to drink, right? Like, I love what alcohol does for me and to me and everything about it, right? I love the conviviality. I love the companionship, the camaraderie, the drinking games. You know, I love to just get alcohol in me. And that was not the path that I set off on, right? I grew up in kind of a weird home. And I was very, like, against the idea of putting things in my body that were going to make me less physically capable. And the problem was is that I had a really loud head, right? I was just insecure and neurotic and upset and angry and scared and you know, depressed at a young age. And I started drinking pretty late by our standards. I took my first drink around my 18th birthday. And what it was is I just wanted to be able to talk to girls, man. Like, I could do it real good on the internet, you know, like AOL Instant Messenger, I'm good, you know. Face-to-face, like, I'm just weird. I'd say crazy things, I'd scare them. So what happened is I brought some Smirnoff Ice to a house party. And I was trying to get, like, a JV cheerleader drunk to go home with me and thought that's the way that you do those things. And I ended up drinking some of those Smirnoff Ices, and I would love to tell you that it was like a lot of Smirnoff Ices in that it happened, but it was probably not. It's probably like five or six or something. But what happened is I got in the car and I've got like 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying, bumping on the radio, right? I got a do-rag, a wife beater, baggy jeans, smoking a Black & Mild, drinking my Smirnoff Ice, you know? And I caught myself in the mirror and I was like, dude, you look good. Tonight's the night, man. You know, like, this is it. This is what we've been looking for. Right? And what happened is I would chase that window, that feeling, that moment. And I would turn in everything good in life to have that one more time. And what happened to me is it got harder and harder and harder to get that feeling, to get that release, right? To get that spiritual experience. You know, the only other place in life that I've ever found that feeling is here in Alcoholics Anonymous. With some crazy newcomer in the passenger seat of my car telling me their terrible idea, you know. It's the only time I get out of myself to that degree. And I didn't set off to be a daily drinker after that, right? It was fun. I got naked and ran around a gated community. And everybody at school thought that that was pretty neat. And it started with, like, Friday nights after the football games. And then it was Friday and Saturday. And then real quick, it was, like, AP midterm exam Tuesday night, I'm drinking a 12-pack in my room by myself, right? And that's within 6 months, you know? And I couldn't see the progression. I didn't know that that's what was happening. And then I got my get out of jail free card, man. I got in an argument with my mother And that's not cool. I did a lot of therapy, so that wouldn't happen. I got in an argument with my mother, and I told her, just fucking go kill yourself. I'm done with your shit. And she did. She did. She did. 2 days later, she took her life. I miss her. I love her. And today, I can celebrate her life, right? I can honor her and be a different man. But that was like, my behavior began to be where people had to question it. There was no other option but to be like, what the hell is wrong with you, man? You know? And that was my like, you would be like this if you did this too, right? Like, get off my back. If you knew what I was going through, you would do these things too. And I had a kid about 9 months later, and I thought that was like, okay, here it is. I have a good reason to get my life in order and to do things right and to live good and be a good father. And, you know, a couple weeks later, I'm booked in Orient Road Jail on felonies. I'm just incapable of doing that stuff. I don't have the power within me to turn my life around, right? The only power that I have within me is to get drunk, right? That's just where I end up every single time that I'm in control of the situation. And my life turned into Groundhog's Day, man. I could give you all these stories, but you all know them. You've done them. If you're sitting in here, you've probably done them. I would wake up in the morning and I had a pit in my stomach. I knew I did it the night before. I didn't know what it was. I was blessed with blackouts. So like, I just had a bad feeling about the night, you know? And I would make promises that I wasn't going to drink that day. And I met those promises. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to live like that. I didn't want to feel like that. And somewhere in the middle of the day, I would start to do the math on what went wrong the night before. And I would start to fix the equation. And I would start to get the variables in line so that I could drink, control and enjoy my drinking safely that night. And I would set out to test that hypothesis of mine, right? And I'd wake up the next morning with a pit in my stomach. And I knew I did it, but I don't know what it was. And along the way, I traded in everything. I traded in being a father. I traded in being a son, a husband. I traded in job opportunities. I traded in friendships. I traded in having a roof over my head, right? I gave it all up to chase that feeling that I got that night with those Smirnoff Ices, and I just couldn't get it again. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. I had a guy tell me that my father drank exactly the way I drank, and I was confused because at the time I was about 22 years old, and I'd never seen my father take a drink. So I called my dad, and I said, Dad, this guy's like, you know, talking shit about you. He said, you drink like me, and my dad was like, I did. And I was like, hold on, I've never seen you drink. And he said, yeah, you were born. I haven't drank since then. And I knew right away, like in that moment, definitively, there's something different about me, right? There's something different about my relationship with alcohol. And I didn't like run to AA, you know, I didn't know what it was. I had gotten like sent here. I walked in and I saw God on the steps and the traditions, and I was like, nope. And I left, you know, and I got 12-stepped over the phone in January of 2009. By a guy I didn't see it coming. It happened on accident, you know. I was telling this guy that, like, my problems were, like, I need more money. I need my driver's license back. I need a car, a better job. Pretty girlfriend would be nice. My own apartment. And he listened to all of this stuff. And then he just said, tell me about your drinking. And I thought that was an odd question, right? And I said, you know, there's something different about my drinking. I don't know what it is. And that guy would proceed to tell me about himself, how he, when he took a drink, he was not in control after that. He could not guarantee what was going to happen after he took one drink. And he told me about times where he stopped drinking. He had kids, right? When both of his kids were born, he had stopped drinking cold turkey. But then he figured out a way that he could drink again. And when he drank again, the same thing happened. And then he told me that he was sober for 29 years in Alcoholics Anonymous. And he told me he had a sponsor. He told me he had a home group. He had a service commitment. And he had worked the 12 steps out of the big book. And I was like, man, Joe, that sounds amazing. I'm glad that you guys have AA in Philadelphia. I don't think we have it in Tampa. And he laughed. And he told me, this is it, right? He said, there are meetings all day, every day at 3333 West Columbus. He didn't get on the internet and look that up. He knew exactly where it was. Because when Joe came down here to bury my mom, every night he went to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And he pointed me right in the right direction. And I just wasn't ready. you know, I wasn't ready. I wound up here with you guys July of 2009. I'd had enough, man. I was done. I didn't know what to do. I really wanted to learn how to drink socially and responsibly. And I called a guy that I heard got sober. I thought that that's what sober was. So I called this guy, dialed this phone number, man, on the landline. For the first time in 4 years, I dialed this phone number like I dialed it every day. And this guy picked it up, and he showed up at this little motel I was in. And it was clear that he was different, right? Something had changed in him. And he took me to Sunday Night Yana. And went to my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And after the meeting, they held hands, and they said a prayer from the Bible. And then they did a chant. And I almost jumped out of my skin. I was like, fuck it, dude. Homelessness is not that bad. You know, like, I will take that over this. And went out to the parking lot just to look like as unapproachable as humanly possible. And these fucking nerds just ran up on me, man. These dorks just came up, and they were like, I'm Ryan, and I'm Lloyd, and I'm Ryan. And I'm like, of course there's two Ryans. You know, like, it's perfect, you know? And they were just excited about sobriety, man. They were excited about recovery, and they were excited to see me and meet me and welcome me to this thing that I didn't know what it was. And I got a sponsor, and I eventually got into steps, and I got into service, and I got into a home group. And, you know, one of the Ryans became my sponsor, and we started going through the book, and I started dating this new girl. We were new. She was just hanging out in the backyard by herself, and I was like, hey, you want to watch Boiler Room? And we've been married for 9 years, so fuck off with your opinion. I don't care. But we got sober together. She wasn't even sober at the time. You know, like, she wouldn't get sober for another few months, but I had that effect on people. So eventually she did, and my life got fucking amazing, man. My life got incredible. There's no other way to put it, right? My life got put back together in a way that I didn't even know it could be, right? Eventually, I got my driver's license back. Eventually, I got a relationship with my father back. Eventually, I got a relationship with my son back. Eventually, I got, like, a job that was, like, pretty cool to go to and actually, like, paid the bills, you know? And I was able to make financial amends and do all these things. And fast forward, we had a home. And we had a family. We had custody of my son at this point. And we get married. And I had a secret that I hadn't been telling anybody, that I didn't think I was alcoholic anymore. I thought that, like, I was young and I was emotionally disturbed and immature, and, you know, it didn't have anything to be responsible for. And that's why I drank the way I drank. And I tried to, like, think my way and act my way out of that. And there's a lot of things in Alcoholics Anonymous that I can take action to get out of. That's not one of them. I need a sponsor to talk to. I need other people, other men in Alcoholics Anonymous to talk to and talk through those things with. I tried to think it, and I got drunk. That's how fucking selfish I am. I, like, blow my sponsor up that day to let him know, you've lost your number one pigeon, right? Like, he's gone. And this dude's at the hospital. His second daughter's being born. And he took the phone call. And he talked to me. He like, spent some time on the phone with me, man. You know? And he let me know the door was open, and he was there for me no matter what. And, nothing bad happened. Had a six-pack, a little airplane bottle of Jameson, brushed my teeth, put on a movie, went to bed. No felonies. No overdraft fees. Didn't get fired, you know? And I did that a few more times, and then I made a promise to my wife that I would stop. And I went out of town. And then I could, like, really drink, you know? We could really see what's up. I didn't have to control it, you know? I could enjoy it. And let's see what happens. And, man, I said some things that night that, like, I would punch me in the face for, you know, and woke up in a bathtub and didn't know where I was at, and was like, ooh, all right, well, that's not good. And didn't drink for a couple months, went out of town again. Same exact thing happened, man. And I had sent a text to, was down in Miami, and I had watched that group start, going to their first anniversary meeting, watched Rachel pass the basket twice. One of the coolest things I've ever seen in Alcoholics Anonymous, to be quite honest. I've wanted to do it here a few times. So just, I think about her that night, and I don't. But I was down in Miami, and I got sober with these guys, and I knew these guys for years. And apparently, I sent one of them a text that said, I think I need help. And then I got tricked into going to that guy's anniversary dinner that night. Right? Just so happens. And that fucker had told everybody there. There's 40 people there. They all knew. I came in just like hungover, wrecked, miserable. And they just, every one of them took shots at me, man. And this guy got me on the way out. He said, my ego's going to kill me. It will keep me from coming back to Alcoholics Anonymous if I ever go out again. And I knew that's what it was, you know. And I picked up a white chip at Noonyana, called my sponsor, let him know I was back. Everything's going to be okay in his life. And that little girl had gotten sick. And so the cool thing about Alcoholics Anonymous is, like, even though I was out, I wasn't here with you guys, what you guys showed me and taught me to do and the impact you had on me was so great that even though I wasn't in Alcoholics Anonymous, well, that little girl was in the hospital here, I tried to show up to that hospital every night, you know. And so when I came back, it was like we didn't really miss a beat, you know, like he had kind of sponsored me while I was drinking. It was weird. But I came back and a few days later, he lost his daughter. And I didn't want to hear a damn thing about God after that. Don't talk to me about it. I'm not trying to hear it. Hey, got that one wrong. We need to find a way around it. And I did a 4-step pretty quick, man. Like within a couple weeks, I was on my sponsor's back porch telling him the very first thing on my 4-step was the idea of God, right? I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to think about it. Don't tell me I have to have a God to stay sober. I'm not here for it. And he sat across the table 14 years sober, and he said, I feel the same way. And I didn't know that he was allowed to say that at 14 years sober, but he did. And we made an agreement to seek a higher power together, right? To not carry belligerence into our daily affairs and to just be open-minded, right? And I tried to do that. I became what I heard called a praying atheist, right? I would just say the prayers, believing that they're not going anywhere. I'm just talking to myself, which isn't a big problem for a guy like me because I've been talking to myself my whole fucking life, right? Like, this isn't new. So now I'm just saying, like, thous and these to myself and whatever. I'm cool with that. And I showed up to this home group, and they were having a problem with the sound system that night, which is pretty typical here. And they were like, Terry, go fix it. And I was like, bro, I still smell like booze. And they were like, don't care, go fix the sound. Also, there's a form that we need you to sign for the bank. And I was like, whatever. And what they did is they put me right back in the middle of the boat. They didn't let me sit on the rail. They didn't let me sit on the outside. They didn't let me, like, dip my toe in and figure out what I was going to do. They were like, okay, you're back. You're back. Get in the middle, right? And I got through the steps, and I started to sponsor other men in Alcoholics Anonymous. And 6 months sober, got this guy, you know. The guy's still sober today, right? It's weird. You know, we're going to celebrate, you know, we just celebrated 8 years, the both of us, 6 months apart. And I'm like, how the hell does that happen? You know, and I've got another guy with like 7 years, you know, and guy with 6 years. And I'm like, how? And what I've watched in these guys' lives is I've watched them like go through the most difficult things ever, stay sober, and then get these gifts that are like beyond imagination, you know? And what's happened in my life is I've gotten to do the coolest shit ever, right? I've gotten to scuba dive in France, right? I've gotten to almost get killed by moray eels. I've gotten to travel Europe with my wife and her family, who I thought would never accept me. I've gotten to stand in court and watch my son get sentenced to prison twice. You know, I've gotten to sit next to my wife when she finds out that her mother killed a man. You know, I've gotten to face that man's best friend. You know, I've gotten to do stuff that just, it's unimaginable that I'm going to stay sober through that, right? And, you know, I had all these plans and ideas of what my life should look like and what should happen. And it just kept not going that way, right? Something else kept happening. And, you know, I had these like grand visions for what I'm supposed to do professionally. And like, I was just frying chicken a couple weeks ago, you know, in a food truck. And not my plan, you know, and it's pretty cool, man. This is recent. But something that's happened within me, something that Alcoholics Anonymous did to me that changed me in a way that made my sponsor's wife feel comfortable recruiting me to come into her professional workplace, to come and work with her, and to tell the people she works with, I absolutely trust this man. And I am, that those are words that are never spoken with my name attached to them. You know, that is just like, I'm trying to calm her down. Like, please don't set the bar that high. You know, like, I'm going to do something stupid. Just give me 5 minutes, you know, because that's what I do. And I've had all these blessings, man, but the coolest thing I've ever seen, coolest thing I've ever seen is a guy come back to Alcoholics Anonymous with more fear than I've ever seen in any living creature. And that guy started to go through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that guy's dad popped back up in his life. And to get to get on an airplane and fly to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in December to go and see that guy's dad and bear witness to that guy putting a relationship back together with a man that he was scared to death of. And then did you have to get a shout out? He asked me to shout him out. And I was like, all right, he fucked up. He only made one pot of coffee, but I'll do it. But to have that experience, to be there for a higher power to transform me into a man who was able to be there and bear witness to that and be present for that is more than anything I could ever ask for in this life. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve this. But I have it simply because I have persistently taken actions in Alcoholics Anonymous that my sponsor has prescribed based on his experience, right? If there's anything I've done right, it's be sponsored, kind of, right? Even that I mess up at, but I have consistently taken these actions. At every opportunity to help another alcoholic, I've tried to make myself available to the best of my ability, and I've been given a gift. I've been given this beautiful marriage with my wife and a beautiful home with a bunch of newcomers living in it, just being reckless, you know, stealing my nicotine pouches and things like that. But what I've gotten to bear witness to and be a part of is something more special than anything I could ever find in this life. There's no gift like it. And I remember sitting in here 3 days sober the first time thinking, I don't want to be here. I would rather take a drink. I'm glad I didn't know what I would be trading in. I'm glad I stuck around for another day, and I'm glad I called my sponsor one more time. I'm glad I took that next step in our program of recovery so that I could stay here another day. I'm so grateful for you guys and for Bree becoming a part of my life, right? And teaching me how to be a little bit softer, right? Just a little bit more tolerant, you know? Giving me grace that I don't have on my own. I appreciate you, and I love you, and I'm so proud of you for that. Thanks for letting me share.